Bob, that was your cue for the showdown. It's a showdown. For God's sake.
Bob.
You've missed the cue. We're all waiting here with bated breath.
Charlie, could you do that again? Play it again. The false alarm, we were interrupted here.
Why are people walking into our studio?
They walked into the studio and disrupted everything.
Paul who?
Paul Rasmussen. He always has an open invitation to come in here.
Bourgeois?
Not during the show.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is a Monday edition of the Showdown featuring Joe Starkey, Paul Zeiss, and here we go. Beginning with the Penguins last week,
I'm sorry, I was practicing.
Quick answers, we got a lot of stuff to cover here.
True.
Kyle Dubas essentially said they are going to stay the course. So, Paul, I ask you this. Of the Fab Four, is there any chance that any one of them is not here next year?
Absolutely no chance at all. It's very clear they're not going to try and trade him. They're not going to ask him to move their no-trade clause. They're not going to do anything to try and change the makeup of this team and then wonder why they missed the playoffs again.
I agree with every syllable, half syllable, and quarter syllable Paul just uttered. But I would ask you this. What's the course? What course is he on? Trying to win while trying to also to secure the future while trying to...
That's a good question. What is the course? The course is keeping the guys who are here and trying to surround them with people to get them into the playoffs.
I'd put a 5% chance on Malkin or Carlson. A 5% chance if one of those guys was agreeable to one place in particular. I would certainly approach him. I don't think he would.
Goalie situation. He made it sound like Nedeljkovic is the odd man out because he is an unrestricted free agent and he doubled down on Jari. So, Paul, next year, is it Jari Blomqvist, Nedeljkovic, no Jari? What do you think is going to happen?
It's going to be Jari Blomqvist, but it shouldn't be. It makes absolutely no sense that you're keeping the guy who was not good enough and getting rid of the guy who at least gave you some chance to win down the stretch. So it's going to be Jari Blomqvist, but it should be Blomqvist with Ned as his backup.
Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Bob, I think could take care of this. What if they did something like the Steelers did, where they said,
clean out the room?
Yeah.
Bring in all new people.
Just bring in all new people. It'll probably be Jari. I hope it's Blomqvist. I hope it's Blomqvist and someone else. I'm not convinced he won't trade Jari. I'm not convinced of that, if he could find a taker. Dubas screwed up the goalie situation in Toronto, and he's 0 for, well, he's, you could say he's 1 for 2 here, but Nedeljkovic, you can find,
right,
you can find that guy in a lot of places. Dubas went out and visited Jari, wanted to make sure he was making the right move, and it turned out to be a horrible move. Although Jari, when asked how he was this season, said, I thought I was pretty good.
Not the answer you'd be looking for. Next question concerns goaltenders, but not here in Pittsburgh, Paul. Boston beat Toronto the other day handily, and Jeremy Swayman, a surprise starter, only because he's not the Vezina winner from last year, he got the start. Montgomery, their coach, has alternated all year. He split time with his guys. He says his plan is to do it again. So tonight in game two, would you go back to his plan of going with Ullmark, or would you stay with Swayman, who made 34, 35 saves and was terrific in game one?
Wow. That's a difficult. I think I go with the guy who won game one. Now, I understand the idea that, it'll disrupt the equilibrium of the team because we alternated, but it's the playoffs, man. And if he's feeling it against your opponent, that's the beauty of the playoffs. You're playing the same team, you know, and the thing about it is he's feeling it against you might as well ride the hot hand until he proves otherwise.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable Paul just uttered. You have to.
He won't.
What are we doing here?
I guarantee you that Ullmark will be in goal tonight.
Swayman owns the Leafs, by the way.
I understand that.
He's been great against them, and he just beat them in game one. And like I think I was watching Bissonnette and those guys talk about this yesterday. You lost in the first round last year. You lost. So you better savor every win here and get out of the first round, or you might not have a job if you're that head coach. This guy plays great against this opponent and just won you game one. I think it would be crazy to go away from that.
We'll see. That's
there
gonna
is
be
a quick update on that. Jim Montgomery, the Boston Bruins head coach, says his starting goaltender tonight has two vowels in his first and last name. So it's not really an update, but it's a head coach trying to be funny.
What does that mean?
He's not going to tell you.
They both have two, yeah. I was trying to think about, which one of them? They both have two vowels.
He better win. That head coach better win.
Ullmark is a Vezina Trophy winner. He was outstanding last year, and he was outstanding this year.
Until the playoffs.
Okay, but they also did the same thing last year. They alternated. So I'm wondering what it's going to be fascinating to watch. Let's move along. Steelers, first two picks, 20 and 51. I don't need names. I don't expect you guys to come up with names because it's hard to do. But I'm just going to give you a general question. What two positions will they address with 20 and 51, Joe?
Will they or should they, Bob?
Both.
Okay, which ones will they address? I think probably center and receiver. Which ones should they? That depends on how the board falls. We talked about a couple different scenarios with defensive linemen, with the kid from Georgia at tight end. My God, if he falls, wouldn't you take him, Paul?
Yeah, we talked about that last week. The tight end.
Brock Bowers.
I would say they're going to go tackle in the first round. And I wouldn't shock me if the right guy is around, they go center in the second round. It won't shock me if the first two picks are linemen.
PFF suggested they trade up for the West Virginia center in the second
Frazier,
round, which I would do in a second. If they can come out of this, Bob, would you take Brock Bowers if he somehow slips to 20? I would sprint to the podium.
Yeah, that could change my mind.
Sprint.
That could change my mind.
I would tackle people on the way to the podium.
All right, more likely for the Steelers to do, Paul, trade up in the first round or trade down in the first round, because you can pick up some additional picks, and there's a pretty good allotment of what you need in both of those categories, extending late first round into the second. What would you do? What do you think is more likely for that to happen?
I think it's more likely they trade up. I think they know that they need to get a impact player. And they need to get somebody who's ready to play right now, who can play right now, who they can, sort of plug in. And, I mean, there's a number of guys that are going to be on the board at 20. Maybe if they move up to 17, 16, they make sure they get one of those guys. Moving back, I don't know that they necessarily get somebody that really has an impact this year, and I think they know they need impact. So I think it's more likely they trade up than back.
I think it's more likely they trade back. Yeah, who's up there that they really would desperately want to get?
I think the guys they desperately want to get are going to be gone unless they do trade up, and they may, it costs a lot to do that.
I mean, we're trying to configure this in a way where they can address all their needs, like with their first two or three picks. They have too many. So they must believe that too, or I would think they would. Like, man, we have a lot of needs to address here. Maybe we can move back and pick up an extra pick or two. I think that's more likely. What about defensive line? I was talking with Crowley and Dickerson about this. Is that not a major concern for you? Ogunjobi's not that good. Cam Hayward is getting older.
Yeah.
Benton looks real good. And then what?
And then guys have fallen fat. You look at DeMarvin Leal. He took a step backwards. They've had a lot of guys who've taken a step backwards in that position. They need help there. I don't think there's any question about that.
To me, if you're not good on the defensive line, then nothing else matters behind that. Nothing else matters.
We've heard all kinds of reports on this, but I want to get a percentage chance it may happen. Paul, to you.
What Brandon, if Byron Murphy's there, Bob?
Well, we'll see. Brandon Ayuk, his agent says he's not demanded a trade. But let's just say the Steelers are interested. And they need help on wide receiver. What chance would they make a trade? And how much money would it take to sign him?
Well, I mean, it sounds like 20 to 25 million a year.
Which is the market. He's 25 years old and already established. He's like Patrick Queen. They got him for the same. He's a young guy who's established.
Is the question,
what percentage chance of that happening?
I somewhere north of zero and south of two.
Okay.
I just don't see. It's not the kind of move they would make. And I think it's a lot of money. They're feeling, this is supposed to be a really deep draft in receiver.
And they believe they can draft them at any round.
They believe that they'll be able to address receiver by getting a couple receivers that aren't going to cost them $25 million. So I would say they should take the opposite approach, because, again, you bring Russell Wilson in, you're in win-now mode. You're in win-now mode. Do you know what I'm saying?
And they need help in the wide receiver category.
Exactly.
Big time, immediately.
Well, what I just said, I think, factors into this is they're not going to be able to take care of all their needs in the draft. They're not. Once you start getting to the fourth, fifth, sixth range, then you get lucky, you may get somebody. But guys playing right away, probably not. So they're going to have to take care of something outside of the draft. And this is something that they could do. It's only money. The cap's going up, right, in historically large proportions. And yeah, Paul's right, about $25 million. Debo Samuel signed for nearly $24 million for that team. I would do it. I would trade for him and sign him. And by the way, I'm not putting anything past the Steelers these days. Seriously,
right.
They could do anything at this point. It wouldn't surprise
they've
me.
They've gone totally against what they normally would do. All right, next question. Paul, I need two names. Starting quarterback week one, starting quarterback week 17 for the Steelers. Injuries notwithstanding. No injury. Just who is the guy?
The starting quarterback week one for the Steelers is Russell Wilson.
Week 17?
Russell Wilson. I mean, I think he's gonna be fine.
Joe?
Russell Wilson. Although I'm probably about 60% on him. I recommended that they get Russell Wilson right after the season. So I'm bullish on him. But would I be surprised if he melted down? No. Both things can be true, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Bro. NBA home teams in the playoffs. Game one, 8 wins, no losses. NHL team, game one, home team, 6-0, 14-0. First time in 8 years that's happened. Does this make you appreciate home ice and home court better, or do you still think it doesn't matter?
They went 14-0, all the home teams.
All the home teams.
I've always said this. Home field advantage does matter on some level, but it's not the be all end all. And I think, you know, if you'd rather play at home than on the road, I get it. But I still don't think that it's, you know, the be-all, end-all. I think teams have shown you can win on the road in the playoffs.
What's the question, Bob?
Does it make you think more seriously about home ice, home court, what it means? A lot of people have
It feels like
years...
it means way more in basketball than hockey. Way more.
Okay.
I'm not sure why that is. If officials get influenced more by the home crowd or just the fact that there's less parity in the NBA, like I think it's way more predictable. In the NBA going into the playoffs, who's going to win, who's going to be there at the end, who's going to be in the finals. I mean, if I told you right now it's going to be Boston-Denver, I think I'd have pretty good odds that that's what it's going to be, right? So I think the home teams are just better positioned in the NBA. You know, it's easily predictable compared to other sports. There's no home ice advantage in hockey in the playoffs. That's basically been proven.
Okay, one other question hockey related, Paul. Watching the New York Rangers Washington yesterday, I got the distinct feeling that my frustration level went up higher watching Washington because I don't think they're capable of doing anything against the Rangers. They can't score. They don't have enough. Does it frustrate you more that the Penguins let this opportunity slide by, knowing that Washington's in there ahead of them?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's here's the thing. Do you want to know the difference? One night in early March, when the Penguins found out that one of their guys got traded and they didn't want to play anymore because it hurt their feelings and they were upset, and they got blown out of the building by the Capitals. Because if they'd have played that game really well and won it in regulation, they would be in the playoffs. And right. Then it wasn't bad enough that they let that happen. It took them 10 games to recover. From one of our teammates got
and Dubas mentioned this the other day.
They traded our guy. He's our friend. They went 2-7-1 in the 10 games, starting with that Capitals game in the next 10 games. That is what's frustrating, because once they figured out, hey, this Michael Bunting guy, he's not chopped liver. He can actually help us. All of a sudden, they started playing like a playoff team. But it was too late. So, yes, it's frustrating.
I agree with every syllable Paul just said. What was the question, Bob?
Just the frustration level as a Penguin follower, knowing, again, my belief is they would give New York a much better series than what I think Washington
No, they
is
wouldn't.
Going,
I'm not convinced of that
You
anymore.
Don't think they would?
Even though I said
Washington doesn't have much
no,
to
come
offer.
On, the Rangers would skate circles around this team. Their power play stinks. Their goaltending stinks. Their bottom
That's
six
not my point.
Stinks.
My Everything. Point is... Would they give them a better matchup than Washington?
Yeah, they'd get swept, but probably by fewer goals.
I disagree. All right, one final question. It's a golf-related question. Today, after a rain-suspended final round, Scottie Scheffler did what you expect him to do. He won again. So he has 4 wins of the last 5 regulation starts for him, including the Masters. The only one he didn't win, he finished second. He's made $16 million during that time. Nelly Korda on the LPGA has won 5 consecutive events. Goes for 6. It's never been done before. Which is more impressive?
Nelly Korda, and I'll tell you why. Because in the women's field, they got all of the best players.
Good point.
And Scottie Scheffler is playing against some fields that are watered down. And that's not to say that Brooks Koepka and all these guys, but if those guys were all involved, it'd be the fields would be a little bit different than they are. Scottie Scheffler is doing really good work. Obviously, he's a great player, but he's beating what I would call watered down fields. Joe?
I agree with every syllable. Just uttered. I wanted to mention something here, Bob. SB Live, National High School Girls Athlete of the Week. Our friends, the Duffels, and Lily Duffel is their player for Char Valley. Unbelievable. Catcher, this kid would hit a home run like every time she came up, and she's hitting them this week. Vote for her. I think, is that the situation here? Yeah, they have a thing where you can vote for her. The National High School Athlete of the Week for the week of, I guess, 4/15. So for this past week, vote for her from Char Valley. Will you vote for her, please, Bob?
Sure.
Paul?
I don't even know what you're talking about, Charlie. I'm so lost. Yes, I will. I'll vote for. Yes, I will.
But which is better, Joe?
Where do I find
which one
out?
Is what?
Scottie Scheffler or Nelly Lily Korda?
Scottie Scheffler or Lily Duffel? I'll go Duffel. I don't know, Bob. You know, I still don't care that much about golf. I just play it.
What's Korda's older sister?
Tennis player. Dad. Yeah,
what's the older sister's name?
Nelly and I forget. The first name of
yeah, she, so the older one, he was her caddy,
right?
At, when they were at Oakmont for the, you know what I'm saying?
You ever play Whiskey Creek?
No. So anyway, hey, we'll talk about Whiskey Creek in a minute. So anyway, we're at Oakmont, and I wanted to do just a nice story about the Kordas, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This dude blows me off for an interview, makes me stand and wait outside
the father.
The
dad.
Yeah.
The dad of
Peter Korda. Of Peter Korda.
Korda used to be a good tennis player.
So he was a great tennis player. So here was the thing. So I'm like, what is this guy's problem? I told him all I'm going to do is write a little story about, you know, him and his tennis career and how now his daughters are really great golfers. This was going to be a really positive story. So I looked him up to see if there was something that he didn't want to talk about, or if there was some weird thing that he thought, you know, me as the press guy was going to talk. Because after about 15 minutes, I was like, all right, screw you. I'm going back now. I'm writing the story without your quotes, right? Here, Peter Korda, if you remember, got suspended for like 2 years for using steroids. He like won the French Open, or he won one of the majors and one of the Grand Slams, and then he got suspended for. So my story went from this nice feel good story about Peter Korda to. And you know, his daughter being really good at golf and how they're at Oakmont this week, to me writing about how hopefully the daughter is not like the dad who's a cheater. I just ripped the dad to shreds in the story.
Do you guys want to play golf today?
I'd love to, but I can't.
Call in sick. Paul?
Call in sick. You got to pick up your daughter, you said. Thanks to the good beach store.
Yeah, I do. I do. I could probably swing it later. It's probably best to let it go.
On the Corn Ferry Tour.
Thank you, Bob, for a wonderful showdown.
You're certainly welcome, Joe. You dog, you.
You're